Friday, May 8th, is Do It for Dolly Day. Join us and go blue to end bullying. Start the conversation and help fund life-changing anti-bullying support. Find out more at doitfordollyday.org.au.
Ashjain Sharif is 24 and treats his phone like a landline. He does not access social media and uses an iPod with 16 gigabytes of storage to listen to music. Mr. Sharif has been keeping up this lifestyle for the past year and a half.
At first, making significant changes to my relationship to different technologies was something I did out of curiosity, of wanting to know how different things could be. Then after maybe a month, it became like, wait, it's serious. Like, this is kind of so good, and I want to keep this up indefinitely. After about 6 months, it became just like how I lived. Like, I didn't even think about it.
He's noticed a boost in cognition as well as social life, despite many members of his generation depending on socialization online. Generation Z has the highest social media usage, but is also the generation that is the most likely to purchase a dumb phone.
The grass is greener on the side with real grass.
Generation Z is the first of the digital native generations, with most people born into the generation not knowing what a world with no smartphones looks like. 21-year-old Albert Malloy is diagnosed with ADHD. However, he believes that his symptoms have been exacerbated by a crippling lifelong phone addiction.
I see people, like my roommate, her phone died the other day and then she still went out of the house just without her phone. And I was like, how the f*** do you do that? Like, that's just such a foreign concept to me, not having your phone with you at all times. If I wasn't on social media during high school and I wasn't trying to fit in and shape how people see me online compared to like in real life, if it wasn't such a prominent part of my youth, I think I'd be much better off and I wouldn't be so dependent on my phone.
A 2022 McKinsey report said that Gen Z doesn't distinguish between online and offline life. For many digital natives, social media becomes their reality, even if it isn't. 21-year-old Julian Kachan went down the alt-right pipeline when he was 10.
It's very easy to listen to engaging online personalities and join groups that agree with you because you feel like you're part of a community, which is a nice feeling, especially when you're younger, and you're feeling a bit ostracized maybe in your real life. So online, you join this group that the people agree with you and you're part of a community. Even when they start talking about toxic or dangerous topics, you begin to rationalise that in your head.
Dr. Brittany Ferdinands is a digital media lecturer at the University of Sydney. She believes that algorithmic cultures have trapped people online.
Echo chambers are one thing that are a byproduct of algorithmic cultures. And also, I guess it just gives us a real filtered idea of the world, particularly for young people who a lot of them receive their news and their world current affairs through social media. You can train your algorithm, but at the end of the day, the algorithm acts as a cultural intermediary.
In the past year, trends have emerged that subvert the functions of the algorithm. Trends such as neutro, digital minimalism, and the concept of the chronic offline. According to a 2025 to 2026 tourism survey, over 76% of Australians aged from 18 to 25 considered a digital detox over the summer. 24-year-old Ben Smith works at an analogue media store in Sydney. He listens to music on CDs.
I like to use CDs like in the car. It's always nice. Vinyl, I don't use as much, mostly because I'd spend my whole paycheck here if I did.
He's noticed a change in customer demographic in recent years.
There's a lot of young people buying CDs, we've noticed. Sort of like high school age and like early uni. That's probably our main audience, really, and it's really nice to see, especially in this day and age.
Dr. Ferdinands has noticed that her students are beginning to adopt a more analogue lifestyle.
You're so used to like instant gratification and instant, you know, exposure to things. And like now you're kind of like going towards the other end. Like you want to wait and you want patience and you want to develop your photos. And like you want to have a laugh if a photo, you know, has your friend blinking or you're blinking in it. Like, it's quite sweet. I think it's really, really wholesome.
Desire for face-to-face interactions have also led to a growth in social clubs. Dr. Ferdinands herself runs a book club.
I do think that the reason why these social clubs are becoming so big in Sydney is because, like, we have digital fatigue. We are yearning to meet people and connect with people offline. And I think that that's the whole thing, right? Like, people aren't just looking for community, but they're looking for connection that feels like intentional and embodied.
But digital fatigue doesn't necessarily mean that young people would want to go offline altogether. Mr. Sharif believes that spending time offline has helped his relationship with the online world.
The internet is so much more than social media and the subscription economy, like streaming websites. I feel like over the past few years, I have come to find niches in the world wide or web that I really like. And it's like websites that remind you of when we were kids. And say, like, if you'd had to learn HTML coding in like year 7 or 8 or something, and you were like kind of okay but kind of really bad at it, and you made this ugly looking website, people still make those websites and they make the coolest things ever. I found this website where someone teaches you how to code like a Java script that will turn anything you hover over into like hearts on any random website.
So it's less about the rejection of technology and more kind of a recalibration of how we want to live with it. So I don't think we want to live in media anymore. We want to live alongside it.
Zoe Brock, SBS News.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.